If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required. U.S. only.
Crank up that diesel.
Head coach and team president of the Washington Redskins, Joe Gibbs.
I like that!
Two men together can't lose, okay?
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Redskins podcast. Ben Standing here, coming to you guys just a couple of days before the Redskins begin their series of offseason workouts. The rookies are on tap first, as is usually the case. They are set to be out there this weekend. The media will be out there on Saturday. So we'll have some more from that. Probably get some player interviews for here on the podcast as well. And I want to talk about kind of what to expect this weekend, kind of what's on tap for the Redskins overall going forward here, as we're still a few months away, or a couple months away from training camp. But today, on this here podcast, what I've got for you is this. I spoke with Kirk McNair, and if you're wondering why you should care about that, here's why you should care. Kirk McNair has been covering the Alabama football program in some way, shape, or form since Bear Bryant was there. That's been a minute. And the Redskins spent their first two picks, of course, on Alabama football players, defensive lineman Jonathan Allen and linebacker Ryan Anderson. I spoke to Kirk last year about the NFL draft when there was a bunch of Alabama players that we all kind of thought maybe were in the mix for the Redskins, Reggie Ragland, Jaron Reed, A'shaun Robinson, and some others. And so I wanted to see, now that they actually did pick some of those guys, I circled back with him and wanted to get his take. What did he think of these guys? What does he think about this sort of notion that Alabama football players have not thrived in the NFL? How does he see Allen working in the pro game and things like that? So good. I've got that for you guys right now. Kirk, by the way, I should say, he's the man behind the Bama Mag site on the Scout.com network, which is, of course, where my site BreakingBurgundy.com is part of on, well, and then after the interview, I'll come back, share some thoughts, as I said, on what's upcoming for the Redskins. And also, I know Scott McLuhan gave an interview. I've listened to that, and I'll let you know what I think sort of struck me about that interview. But here we go. Let's start with this. Kirk McNair, as I said, publisher, editor for BamaMag.com. But, you know, more importantly, he's been covering Alabama for a long time, and he's got some interesting thoughts on the two Redskins rookies, Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson. All right, here we go. We're going to talk some Alabama football here, because now Alabama football is Redskins football after Washington drafted defensive lineman Jonathan Allen and linebacker Ryan Anderson with their first two picks in the 2017 NFL draft. To help us get some more insight on these two defenders, we're going to talk here with Kirk McNair, the publisher and editor with BamaMag.com, part of the Scout.com network. Just for some background, Kirk has been covering this team forever and a day, literally since the Bear Bryant era. I spoke with him last year when Alabama had a bunch of defensive linemen in the draft, and we all thought the Redskins might go that way. That didn't happen. But now that they've made that move, I wanted to get Kirk back on. So, Kirk, many, many thanks for your time today. I guess let's just start with the number one guy, Jonathan Allen. Heard how unbelievable this guy was. One of the top defensive players in the league in the country. He won all the awards. He won all these things. Tell us about Jonathan Allen from your perspective. The guy you saw, is he all the hype? Is it all real? Is it all everything everybody said about him from your perspective? Is that all a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that Jonathan Allen was not only a great player, but he's got great instincts. And that's why when you look at his highlight film, you say, God, this guy was just in the right place at the right time, wasn't he? Well, it kept happening over and over and over again. So after a while, that's not just happenstance. You recognize that, you know, he just has great football instincts plus tremendous ability.
How did Alabama use him this past season or during his career? And based on what you have sort of seen, how do you think, what were sort of the strengths and weaknesses of his game with the Crimson Tide?
You know, I think he started out when he first got to Alabama, the expectation was he would be a pass rushing end or even an outside linebacker. And obviously he built himself up and became, an every down defensive lineman who is capable of playing the run and also being a disruptive factor in the passing game. So he is absolutely the all-around defensive lineman. And end at Alabama, Alabama runs a 3-4 defense. And so, the ends and tackles are pretty much about the same. There are guys like A'shaun Robinson and Jaron Reed last year and Dalvin Tomlinson and Jonathan Allen this year. They're listed as ends, but they're capable of playing inside.
You know, one thing that jumps out when you see Allen, when you start learning more about his profile. Now, obviously, he's a guy that's actually from this area, so a lot of people are already pretty familiar with him. But nonetheless, he's been away from home for a few years. And when you see him in the interviews, he just comes across as an unbelievably smart and interesting young man. I saw him say in an interview he built a computer last summer. I barely know how to turn mine on. So you're getting it. So it seems like the Redskins are getting a guy who not only has the physical gifts, but the intellectual side as well. How did he come across to you in that realm as somebody who's obviously going to have to, he was going to have a lot of attention on him coming as the number one pick, coming back home to a team that needs that. How do you think intellectually he'll be able to sort of process all that's going to be new for him?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great plus for him. He's as you pointed out, he's a very intelligent young man, very poised. He's kind of guy that you say he comes to work every day. He is has matured. He was pretty mature when we first started talking to him. We don't get to talk to Alabama players as freshmen, but as we've started talking to him, we realized that he was a special young man with an interesting background who seems always to be looking forward to be trying to be better at everything he does and take advantage of every opportunity he has. So I think he's a great leader. I mean, I just can't say enough good things about Jonathan Allen, to tell you the truth.
Well, I'm sure Redskins fans will be excited to hear that that's your take as somebody who's been watching him all these years. Because I know a lot of times for a lot of us, you watch a player over and over and over and over again, and sometimes you can almost start seeing more of the concerns than the strengths, just because you notice it more than when you're just watching somebody on highlights. So that's interesting to hear. Now, all that said, one thing that has sort of puzzled me is that the Redskins picked 17th. We're talking about a guy who most people thought was a top five pick throughout almost the entire draft process, but then late as things started to progress, started to hear some more and more talk about the concerns with the arthritic condition in his shoulders, and then he does slide all the way to 17. I know you're not a doctor, and I don't know how much you're aware of his medical situation beyond what's been in the news. But how would you, as best you can, explain why a guy with supposedly all this talent with all this upside and production, why did he slide all the way down to where the Redskins picked?
Yeah, I've told people many, many years that I can, I'm a decent judge of Alabama football talent, but trying to figure out what's going to happen in the draft is a much more complicated situation because in the first round, teams aren't really taking the best players available. They're, most of them have specific needs and, if that wasn't somebody's need, then, they were going somewhere else. But I think I think that everyone would agree that the Redskins got a great bargain getting him at 17th, and they were probably pretty lucky for him to still be there. But I never have been able to figure out those mock drafts, but I did notice too that I wasn't alone.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird. I mean, because even with the talk of the arthritic shoulder, it seems like everybody's saying they don't know if it'll affect him in 8 years or in 20. But either way, it's not today. That's what seems like odd. I mean, not that, you know, obviously you hope he has a really long and productive career, but being realistically in the NFL and pro sports, you can't count on that any one player is going to be on your team for beyond even the first contract, let alone 7 years, 10 years. So the idea that this arthritic shoulder, which may not be an issue until he's out of the league, would cause him to drop. That's sort of the part that just seems so odd to me.
It did to me too. But again, I understand, you know, the NFL teams are putting an awful lot of money into these guys, and I can understand anything raising a red flag. But I would say this, until I heard that, I had no idea that there was any physical thing wrong with Jonathan Allen. It certainly never showed up. Again, arthritis, you know, if it's, I know that that can only goes one way, really. And you just never know the timeline for that. So we'll have to see. But I, for one, I'm not a GM, but I certainly wouldn't be too concerned about it. He played pretty well with those shoulders.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get to their second round pick, Ryan Anderson. Before when you and I touched base the other day about doing this podcast, you sent me a quote from Anderson. I'm not sure when he said this, but at some point during his career, it had to do with his description of linebackers being hateful guys. The quote is, quote, "It's what defenders do. Mostly we are hateful guys. We hate everybody on the other team. Everybody that is lined up across from us, we hate you. We're going to try to kill you."
That was in response to a description, actually, that Nick Saban gave. Somebody asked Nick Saban about the linebackers, and he gave a shorter version of that, but he did use the term, they're hateful guys, and didn't go into as much detail as Ryan did. But it was in response to that. But certainly, you know, defense has a different mentality. And at Alabama, they put a lot of stock in being a dominating defense, a vicious, you might say, defense. They want to really affect the other team. And Ryan Anderson is one of those guys who certainly did affect opposing teams.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there's always this sort of joke in these parts about calling some prospects football players, because when Scott McLuhan was here as the GM, he always said he was looking for football players, which was, we sort of understood what he meant. He didn't say, he wasn't so much worried about the measurables that you find at the combine. He was looking for guys who just wanted to live and breathe and die football. And it seems like Anderson is one of those guys. That quote seems to back that up. What kind of a player, from your perspective, do you think that the Redskins drafted there in the second round?
You know, I thought that Ryan Anderson was going to be a bargain for whoever got him. Most of the talk about the outside linebackers of Alabama this past year was Tim Williams, who is, you know, maybe a faster guy. But I really thought that Ryan Anderson had a better year. I thought that he was he and Tim Williams both were first-year starters. That's one of the things that happens at Alabama is good players get stuck behind other good players and don't start maybe. But Ryan Anderson played a good bit as a junior and in big situations too, not just mop-up duty by any means. And then as a starter this year, I thought just had a terrific year. And I would agree that he is a football player and a guy who I think can be pretty versatile because he's got a big frame, and if they needed to bulk him up to be a strong side linebacker, or if they wanted to use him as a pass rusher, I think that they can count on Ryan Anderson to get the job done wherever he plays.
You know, for the Redskins going into the draft, one of the areas of need was thought to be a sort of that edge pass rusher. That without getting into too many details. With you, they just had some issues. One guy's on suspension, another guy's coming off injuries in back-to-back years. Another player, Preston Smith, an SEC guy that I'm sure you're familiar with, he had a disappointing sophomore year. So there was thought that they would want another edge rusher. Do you? I know Anderson had some sacks, had what, 9 sacks last year with Alabama, and I mean you just
right.
that. But do you see him as sort of a natural edge pass rusher, or is that something that maybe over time, once he learns the NFL game, he can evolve into that?
Well, you know, I think he did a great job against some good mobile quarterbacks, and he's quick enough to beat, you know, to beat a tackle, for instance, in many cases, and then fast enough to, you know, to run people down. So I think that he's got, and of course he's strong. So I think he's got the ingredients that it takes to be an edge rusher. He was a very good edge rusher for Alabama.
I don't know if you would know this, but I know like when Allen and Anderson were introduced to the Redskins fan base after at that last day of the draft, they were introduced together, which, you know, makes sense both because they were the top two picks, but also they played on the same team. Do you have any sense of how close these guys are or how friendly that they are, or maybe even on a different level, how they maybe played off each other last year in a way that maybe Redskins fans could look forward to down the line?
You know, I don't really know that for sure. I would say this, that you rarely ever see any kind of rift or anything like that on an Alabama football team. Just it's the nature of Nick Saban to always be stressing that team stuff. You know, even in practice, you know, he's talking about, these are your teammates. You know, we're not Ryan Anderson's comment about killing notwithstanding, they didn't do that in practice. And I would say that the bond of Alabama football players is very strong. I couldn't speak specifically to John Allen and Ryan Anderson, but I would suspect that they're very good teammates.
And just last question for you. If you draft two players off a Nick Saban defense, you've got to be feeling pretty good about yourself. Obviously, Alabama year in, year out is often the best team in college football, and it's typically led by that defense. That said, whether it's right or wrong, there seems to be this narrative out there that Alabama football players don't always translate to the NFL the way we think they might, that maybe it's more about Nick Saban and his system than it is the individual talent. I guess, what would you say to that narrative, which for the Redskins is now interesting simply because they just drafted two guys from that defense?
Well, there are a lot of Alabama players in the NFL, and I would say that, you know, that there's probably no doubt that examples can be cited of guys who were disappointments. It's a different game. You know, you're a college student and a football player, and then all of a sudden as a professional, you're nothing but a football player. And so it is different, and there are no guarantees from Alabama or anywhere else. Maybe it stands out more at Alabama because they get so many drafted, and because, as you say, the Alabama defense in college is considered the gold standard. So, again, you just can't make any guarantees, but I would never hesitate to take a guy who's performed well for Nick Saban.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, on the surface, like I said, yeah, getting a Nick Saban, getting Nick Saban players doesn't seem like a bad way to go. The Redskins went there in the first two rounds, and obviously they're feeling pretty good about their situation. Kirk, I really greatly appreciate your time. I'll almost bet we're going to talk again because obviously we've got more Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson to watch. The rookie camp starts this week, so we'll get our first taste for real, but more to come, and I'm definitely going to want your insight down the line. Again, appreciate your time, Kirk. Again, Bama Mag on this as part of the Scout.com network. Go check out the site. Go check out Kirk's work. And, Kirk, again, thank you for your time.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Ben, and I hope to – I'll be one of the people that are rooting for the Redskins this year because Jonathan Allen's really one of my all-time favorites. He is really a terrific young man. I don't know Ryan as well, but I'm really, really happy for the Redskins to have gotten John Allen.
Well, that's great. They definitely need what he brings, and we'll see how it all works out. Again, thanks a lot, Kirk. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Many thanks to Kirk McNair again with BamaMag.com, part of the .com network. So let's get into just a couple other things here to sort of tie this one up. I guess we got to mention the Scott McLuhan interview that was done on 106.7 The Fan. Sounds like it was something of a random occurrence there, but congrats to Grant Paulson and Danny Rurrier for getting Scott McLuhan on the air. You know, what struck me the most about all of it was, for all this contentious conversation, for all the Looney Tunes that's been going around the Redskins, at least with regards to McLuhan. You know, you've heard me say before, I think that people have been overstating the amount of dysfunction going on with the Redskins. And interestingly enough, after the draft, people started to pull back on that as well. But in terms of McLuhan, it was certainly a wild show there for a few weeks, ultimately leading to his dismissal and how that came to be, and the sordid ways, frankly, in which how that came to be. But what, and that's what made McLuhan's tone on the pot on this interview so interesting. He was very, very cool, very calm, was gracious, seemingly, unless I missed something, didn't say anything negative about the Redskins, just said it didn't work out. He thanked thanked the owner, Daniel Snyder, and to some degree, and you know, he seemed to have some good things to say about Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins as well. So really just, and then on top of that, the sort of the impetus of this was that he and his wife are donating some of his gear that he always had with him, that tan suit and a camo hat that he had, and it's going to a charity, and the 106.7 guys are sort of getting involved with the bidding on these items. But he's giving the proceeds in part to the Redskins charity, which in and of itself is crazy. There's so many charities out there, you don't have to give it to them, but he is, so that says something as well. As far as substance goes, I mean, I didn't think there was anything that crazy there, and partly because he was dialing it back. He was not exactly, he wasn't doing a flamethrower routine out there. You know, he said some good things. He's moving on with his life. It sounds like they're moving back to the state of Washington. So, you know, I thought it was interesting. Now, one thing that did sort of jump out at me had to do with the Kirk Cousins situation. He here's what he said, and I'm reading the transcript here from John Keim of the ESPN, but I just listened to it myself. He said about Kirk Cousins, quote, "His ceiling is where it's at now. He's a good player who has proven he can win a division, and that's hard to find, and a chance for 2 years in a row to go to the playoffs. That's what you're looking for." And all that is very true, but the line about it, his ceiling is where it's at now, and that's the point that's interesting, especially when you're talking about contracts that, you know, even if the Redskins and Kirk Cousins get a long-term deal done, and I'm not convinced that will happen, which is why I suggested the Redskins should have traded him prior to the NFL draft if possible. But the idea of playing, you know, Kirk Cousins a huge bump up, a huge salary over the course of, you know, several seasons, he's going to get paid, you know, just under $25 million for this year. But it's okay, well, just because he's way better than what they've had for some time, and there's really not much arguing that, where is he going to take you? And it isn't always just about the quarterback, but I think we all know in this day and age, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not getting anywhere. But there is a point to be said that if you don't, and McLuhan made this point in the interview as well, if you spend too much money on one guy, where are you spending, how are you spending everywhere else? And you can maybe get away with that argument if you are truly talking about the ultimate difference maker at that position, you know, i.e., you know, an Aaron Rodgers, you know, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning when he was still healthy and all that. But, you know, is Kirk Cousins that guy? I think that there is an argument, you know, there's a difference between he's way better than everything you've had and he's taking you to the promised land. And that is a line that maybe you do have to cross. Now, I'm not saying that's the Redskins thinking. It's weird to me that they continue to sort of do this franchise tag path, but yet based on reports, have not jacked up their offer for a longer term deal. It is what it is. But anyway, Vance. So I think it was interesting. It was interesting to hear McLuhan talk. You can go find the interview, of course, on 106.7 The Fan. He gave good praise to the Redskins for their draft, as I think obviously most people have. By the way, I meant almost $24 million for Cousins this year, not 25. So anyway, so good there from McLuhan. Good to hear him. It sounded, like I said, in reasonably good spirits, all things considered. As for now, let's move back to the Redskins, the present Redskins. Again, the mini camp starts, the 3-day mini camp starts on Friday, May 12th. The media will be out there on Saturday, so we'll get a look at Jonathan Allen and others for the first time in Redskins gear. Not all the rookies, of course, will be practicing. Fabian Moreau's dealing with a torn pectoral. Safety Monte Nicholson's got a torn labrum, so there's that. But you've got all the you've got the other rookies there. You've got the undrafted free agents who are going to be out there as well. A handful of those guys, including a safety named Fish. Everybody's going to be excited to meet that guy. I would cautious everybody to, tone down whatever you hear, and even if it's coming from me, about whatever you're hearing about how great so and so looks out at these camps. I mean, I recall last year Lloyd Carrington, a cornerback who was making some great plays, was the talk of the town. And ultimately, what happened was he didn't make the roster or the practice squad out of camp. He eventually made the practice squad for a couple of weeks and then was cut. And I'm not actually sure where he is now. And at the same point, Robert Kelly was an undrafted free agent who started getting some buzz there, and he became, obviously, ultimately, the Redskins' starting running back, although, of course, that was at an area where it wasn't a big leap to say, hey, this guy looks interesting. We don't even know who the three running backs will make the team. Maybe he'll be one of them. So, they had a little more room there. But, in general, I'm just saying, be cautious. Be optimistic. Look, the offseason is for optimism. That's what everybody wants, to believe that this is the year that their team is going to go to the next level. So be optimistic. Have fun with it. I'm just saying, tread lightly. Don't drink all the Kool-Aid that's out there. Now, some other things to keep an eye on as we move forward here. First off, I mentioned Robert Kelly. The backfield will be a very interesting discussion over these next few weeks, starting with the rookie camp, because you've got their fourth-round pick, Samaje Perine, out of Oklahoma. It seems like a lot of people just want to give him the job now and say, you're the starter. Look, he did set single game record in NCAA history with 427 yards in 2014. You watch his highlight tape, and it is just, power packed comes to mind. He's just running guys over, and that could be a huge help for the Redskins, especially in the red zone area where they struggled a year ago. But that said, I mean, Robert Kelly certainly had a nice rookie year. He was putting up some good numbers over the final few weeks when they ran up against better defenses. The ground game dried up. I don't know if that's all on him. Either way, I think this could be a pretty interesting battle between Kelly and Perine. And I totally understand why people think Perine might be the guy. I'm just saying, let's see what Robert Kelly looks like when we get into camps. And then, of course, the other situation there is what happens with Mac Jones. He was essentially inactive after he lost the starting job for the second half of the season. If the Redskins only carry three running backs, I don't know how you're going to keep Matt Jones, assuming Robert Kelly, Chris Thompson, and Perine are around. And not even mentioned Keith Marshall and Mac Brown, who are still in the mix to some degree. So interesting situation in the backfield, and that's definitely one to keep an eye on. Now, obviously, I think once the OTAs start later on in the month, I think one guy we're all going to want to see what's he looking like is Josh Dodson. We all know the deal last year. Their first round pick suffers an Achilles injury during, I believe, the rookie minicamp, and really everything just sort of crashed from there. He only played a couple of games for the Redskins, but really it was just a totally lost season. He got shut down by being put on the injured reserve list a few games into the year. They're going to need him this year, especially they lose Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. They do bring in Terrell Pryor, but you know, you're looking at Pryor on one side, Jameson Crowder in the slot, Josh Dotson essentially on the other. So I think it'll be very interesting to see where Dotson's at. We, you know, we've seen some interesting moments, you know, some quick Snapchat-y type videos, but you know, we'll get our own look at him next week for sure. And then of course there's Kirk Cousins, the never-ending contract situation, going and going and going. The Redskins of course have until July 15th to agree to an extension, or he plays on the franchise tag for a second straight year. That's not ideal on 100 levels, including that by if they do that, the Redskins will risk losing him in free agency unless they want to go with the whole franchise tag again. The cost, of course, will go up. Will be even more cap unfriendly if they do it that way. So this conversation is not going away. We will see. I'm sure Kirk Cousins will be asked about this once he comes out to OTAs many times over. All right, so let's end it there. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Kirk McNair, for his time. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And, you know, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, at Ben Standing. Let me know what you think. If there's any topics, any guests that we should be getting on the podcast, happy to see what we can do about it. So let's end it there. But until next time, see ya.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop! At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.